All right. Well, look, let's jump in this Word. Let's jump in there. What y'all been gleaning? We can be anywhere.
I'm out of here by chapter 3.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Do I see the importance of it? The importance is...
talking about Revelation.
Is the... broad is... narrow is the path to Jesus and broad is the way to destruction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Jesus is writing this to those that are in the broad way, telling them, look at what all is going to happen if you don't straighten up.
He tells us who he writes it to up front. You know, that's something that we want to keep in mind. This is a message for his servants.
Yeah.
He is telling us what's going to unfold in this. If you really want to look from chapters 1 to 3, chapter 1 is dealing with the things that you've seen. He gives us an outline of it in 1:19. Things you've seen. What did he see? He seen Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus then speaks to John. And then he says, write down the things which are. That is the message to the seven churches.
Right.
And then he says, the things which must shortly take place, which is the come hereafter. And chapter 4 and 5 is a scene in heaven that we have. That we'll want to pay close attention to what's going on in heaven. Everything is in the spirit of worship. They are given worth and worthiness to the Lamb. And then they'll see the scroll that the Lamb takes and opens up. And when he does, we transition into chapter 6. And then we start seeing, from that point on, we see a threefold witness unfold from 6 on. Number one, we see, and it's spread out through the book. You got to keep in mind, in the midst of the book, like chapter 7 and chapter 14, you've heard me refer to these interludes. They're like a parenthesis in there. I think they're given for some rest and relief because it's so heavy that you get, like in 6, it's so heavy with the when you got the trumpets blowing, and then you're going to see the seals and the trumpets and the bowls, these judgments that come. But in chapter 7 and 14, we see some biographical type things. Well, chapter 6 and these other chapters are dealing with chronology. You see, the biographical type pictures of talking about people like the witnesses and the 144,000 and the worshipers and the martyrs, given some biographical type people involved. But in 6 and then in 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and you get into 12 and 13, you get in these chronological aspects. You go back to 14, you get another rest and relief, and he's showing you people and what the effect is happening with these people. And then you kind of get back in, then the bowls are going to start pouring out. And at the end of 15 and 16 and 17, so these rest and reliefs help us look at people. But then in between all that, with the chronological issues that are going to unfold when they start taking place, are these perilous times that are going to... So you get people and you get troublesome times. You get the triumphal people involved and you get troublesome times. And God's given us this of showing that it's to His servants, to us, and then those down the road that will have this. But the people around the world... this message is not written to them. It's written to us to know what's going to happen to people around the world. So it puts it in our heart, man, to go tell the message.
Right.
Because they can only come to know Jesus through the message.
Sure.
And anybody that responded to the message that was proclaimed responded to the word that was sent forth before they knew anything of the details that were coming. Remember, details don't set a man free. A deliverer sets a man free. So we proclaim a deliverer. We bring Jesus to him. But what we see the judgments of God. I had jotted these down. We see the judged of God And then we see the justified of God in these final chapters from 6 to the end of the book. We've got judgments that are coming, and that is seen in what? The trials that are going to come upon the earth in chapter 6. The tribulation that's going to fall from chapter 8 and chapter 12 and 11. And then you see the terrors that come in chapter 16. That's when those vials or those bowls are poured out. That's with the judgments of God that are going to fall. And then you see the judged of God. That is, you see the rebellious. You see the religious people but are not right with God. And then you see the rejectors all the way through it. Even though all these difficult, hard things come, they still wouldn't repent.
Yeah.
They wouldn't repent. They wouldn't repent. Like in chapter 15. Look in 15, I think it is. No, 16. 16. It says in verse number 8, then the fourth angel poured out his bowl. And that bowl, that vial, is some bad stuff. This is God pouring out his wrath upon the world. In those first dynamics of the judgment, we see God allowing Satan to pour out his wrath. God permits it to happen. That's when you have the four horsemen and all that is going to come with that. God permits Satan to run havoc. And then people are going to bow to him. The Antichrist is coming on the scene. The Antichrist is manifested. But then in the last part of the tribulation that we see coming, we see this trial of God pouring out His wrath upon the earth. And boy, it ain't pretty. And by no means, none of it's pretty. But it really ain't pretty when these bowls are being poured out, these vials. But he says in verse number 9, and men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give Him glory. Amen. And all that took place here in chapter 15 and also in chapter 9, look in chapter 9, in the close of that chapter, look in verse number 20. But the rest of mankind who are not killed by these plagues, because a third of the world will be killed, but there will be a third left, they did not what? They did not repent, in verse 20, of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, and they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, of their fornication or sexual immorality, or their thefts. That is saying they did not have a change of mind on any of those things, nor did they have a change of mind toward who God was.
Amen.
That's what repentance is. Repentance is a reconsideration of who God is and who I am and what I'm to do in life. They didn't have any of that. There was no change of mind, even though a third of the world had just died, and these are left, and they had no different view of God than they had before. And then these bowls that get poured out, they won't change their view of who God is. And the part of that reasoning is Thessalonians tells us that God turned them over to the lie. That they would believe the lie, would not receive the love of the truth, but have strong delusion that nothing that takes place will ever turn them unto the Lord.
That's happening right now.
Yeah.
We see people who are just bent on doing. Now it's our objective to go tell them the story, no matter how they receive it or how they respond to it or not. So we see in these chapters, we see the judgments of God, we see the judged of God, but then He gives us glimpses of the justified. And that would be the witnesses that He has given us, the worshipers that will manifest out of it, and these warriors who are with Him and stand with Him, and even though us when we come back with Him. You know, in chapter 19, he's going to talk about those that come with him when he comes to reign upon the earth. So there's so much that we can glean through this, but the main message is that, look, God is the one who's sovereignly in control. The enemy can only do what God permits him and allows him to do when he does what he does. But ultimately, every soul is going to have to give an account to the Creator. And God's made provision.
We read this and it's hard to read.
It's
difficult to say this is going to happen. But in one breath, and in the next breath, we'll say, well, there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. Well, guess what? The old got to go away
before
the new come.
And that, when you talk about that, that includes people.
Yeah.
You know, that are going to get caught up. Everything is going to have to be renewed.
Yeah, whatever.
So, just like when you take Noah, for an example, I had a little reminder in there. What did he tell Noah? God told Noah to come in to the ark. And God did what? Closed the door.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Right.
Judgment fell.
Yeah.
What did he tell Lot when he went to Sodom and Gomorrah? To come out. And what happened? Judgment fell. What did he tell John in chapter 4? He told him to come up.
Yeah.
And what happened after he went up? We see judgment fall. So we see God is the one who initiates, makes the preparations, sends the messengers. With Noah found grace, he said, come in. Noah had prepared an ark. Then judgment falls. Lot, God sends the angels to him and tells him to come out. And soon as he comes out, because somebody else was interceding, right? Abraham said, Lord, if there's anybody, if there's this, and he knew there wasn't, so he kept reducing his number down. So God said if there was 10 people in the city, he wouldn't judge it, but there wasn't.
Yeah.
But God in his mercy went and got Lot and brought him out. And then judgment fell, not just on Sodom and Gomorrah, but five cities surrounding it to see it.
Yeah.
Well, then we see here this picture of the things that must take place after, and this vision of John being called up to heaven, and then when he's called up, judgment falls. And so this is what we see, is that God has, in rapture, he's called us up to see things that the world can't see. And we need to act on that, because the world that can't see it is going to perish without him.
Right.
So we got to go tell the story. That's the only way people can come to Jesus is if we tell the story.
Right.
And we want to be found doing what he called us to do. We're going to look at Elijah this morning. And Elijah was just having this old pity party over himself, and God told him to go to the wilderness of Damascus and anoint Hazael, anoint Jehu, and then go anoint Elisha, your replacement. Well, the first thing Elijah does is he goes finds his replacement. He didn't go to Hazael. He didn't go to Jehu. He went and found somebody to take his place. And that, he didn't go where God told him to go. He didn't go do what God told him to do. Why? Because he was still making it about himself. And you see, God's telling us to go do something.
Yeah.
And if we're not going to do it, we're doing no different than this great man of God who the Bible speaks highly of. And even the New Testament highlights on quite a few occasions. We can be just like him. God's told us to go into all the world and make disciples for him. But What we often doing is trying to pass the buck on to somebody else to do what we know we ought to be doing.
Hey, we got to preach and let him do it.
Yeah, just anything.
I'm just saying. That's
God's got other people out there. That's what Jonah said. Remember, Jonah said the same thing. Jonah said, God, you're going to do a work in Nineveh.
Yeah.
You don't need me to do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go. And then when God did it, he got upset.
Yeah.
Got mad about it, whined about it. Cried about it, asked for God to take his life.
Yeah.
Elijah did the same thing. Take my life, Lord.
Yeah.
That's enough. I've had enough. I've seen enough. Well, it didn't happen overnight. It was a process that got him there. And we too, if we're not going on a consistent basis, it didn't happen overnight. We kind of just started slowly drifting long before it was recognized. And we just want to be, hey, Lord, keep my eyes fixed on you. Keep me doing what you call me to do. There's people around me, people I love, people I care for, people I work with, people I know that'll perish or without you. And the likelihood, this is history tells us this, the likelihood of somebody dying before Jesus returns is probable.
Yeah.
You see, but we live with our eyes looking to Him. And as 19:10 says, that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So, I want my life, I want my walk, I need my work, I need my witness, I need my wisdom, I need all those things to be prophetic. And if they're prophetic, it's going to have the testimony of Jesus in every bit of it.
Amen.
I just got to think about that. The spirit of anything prophetic that is of God is going to have the testimony in Jesus in it. And my life needs to be prophetic. My witness needs to be prophetic. The wisdom that I teach, you know what we teach? Living in the light of His return. He's coming, amen. So everything I do needs to be in view of that return so that I can have a witness that is prophetic to the people that God puts in my life. Because if they don't know that, they don't know that, I'm going to be in a position like so many that just neglected to do what, hey, God called us to do.
We could say what, in a, what does it say? I think it's in Romans.
Now come on in here. Hey, girl. What are you doing? Can I get a hug? Oh, boy. Good to see y'all.
Who is this? Tank?
Good to see you, brother. Yeah, Romans tells us what, Brother Shannon?
17.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Faith cometh by hearing, right?
Okay, now, I can talk, but I can't change you.
Yeah.
I can say what God wants me to say.
Yeah.
I can't change
right.
your heart.
Faith is something that every individual has to exercise, right?
Once you hear it, and then it has, that's like a seed group implanted.
Yeah.
And then it grows.
Yeah.
And once it's grown, then it does something.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't, you want to shake them.
Yeah, yeah, can't.
You want to shake them
back enough to
get it in.
Yeah, I can't transfer faith.
But if their heart is hard, what the words I say will just bounce off and move on.
We could say it like this. We could transfer the life of our faith, but we can't transfer faith. What's the life of our faith? Hearing from God. The Word and the work of God.
Yeah, and I can tell people about the things that God's done for me, but until God works in them, they're not going to really understand that. They don't hear that.
Come on. Amen. I agree. We got a story to go tell. If we don't go tell it, somebody, God is able to get somebody to them. Amen.
Okay. So we're going to be in Kings? We'll
be in 1 Kings 19, 18 and 19 today. Yeah, 1 Kings.